there are many aspects to this intersection between a person's wishes for how to distribute their estate and their mental intactness, their capacity. So we're going to talk about the scope of the problem, a few key dangers and dilemmas that exist in this domain. We're going to talk about undue influence, the role of assessment, some important conceptual issues, the applicable situations, and the specific steps in an assessment. I'm aware you're a very savvy audience. I don't want to bring Coles to Newcastle here, but I think there are some essential facts we need to just revisit. The scope of the problem is enormous. We can call it galactic even. There's just a lot of old people out there. The 65 plus portion of our population is already like 15%. Every year, most people stay alive. They don't die. So we continue to have people getting older. At 65, people are likely to have 18 to 20 more years of age. Even at 85, 6 to 7 more years of age. And that's only half. So that's the average. So half of them live even longer than that. Every year, as I said, most people do not die. Even those who are 95 years old, only 25% of them are going to die in the next year. Most people do not die in any given year. From a legal readiness point of view for death, there are too few wills. Only 45% of adults have a will at all. And in minority populations, it's even lower. Now, 2 to 3% of wills are contested. So there is a certain population where will contests are going to happen. Now, another aspect of the scope of the problem is how much money is involved. And the point is that there is lots of wealth being transferred through wills and waiting to be transferred through wills. The average estate value of Americans age 65 is $235,000. But overall, we're living through an unprecedented, record-breaking intergenerational transfer period. The greatest generation born in the 20s and 30s, all told, will bequeath to baby boomers some $12 trillion. So it's just a lot of money. What are the risk factors for a will contest? And basically, it comes down to dysfunctional families. 8 to 20% of older adults suffer from cognitive impairment, which impairs judgment. But it's not only older people whose wills might be contested. There are non-elderly people who are impaired from disease, injury, substance abuse. And while most families, no question, most families are healthy, they're honorable and adequately well-functioning, they're not the Waltons. We don't have many families who are quite that wonderful. Children of wealthy families actually have higher rates of depression, anxiety, substance abuse than families of middle and lower SES, families of lower and middle SES. A non-trivial portion of these disturbed wealthy offspring remain low-functioning and inappropriately dependent on inheritable assets. They fail to launch into self-sufficiency and independent productivity. So you guys know this very well. You know, no family is perfect. And some families don't cooperate very well. They don't get along. So your estate planning client certainly has a family, and these families may get into serious disagreements. So if your testator's family looks like this, there really is a danger. And that danger is that if there's a will contest in the future, you don't know how it's going to turn out. So you don't know how the assessment, the retrospective assessment of a capacity at the time of the signing of the will is going to turn out. So it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot because it's all retrospective. Let's imagine then a future day. It's the hearing for a will contest. Which of these two packages of evidence do you think is going to be more compelling? Package one, we'll call it, consists of written records that can be found about the testator, however loosely relevant to their capacity, from a time period of days, weeks, months before or after the signing. Probably there'll be some testimony also, which will be retrospective, maybe years old, and it's going to be by people who are not experts. They're not professionals at all. Their attention to when interacting with the test fitters years before was not on the topic of capacity. In fact, they didn't know anything about this concept at all. So retrospective testimony and evidence is rarely precise. It's very approximate at best. It's distinctly vulnerable to partisan interpretation, distortion, putting the results of, you know, this testimony way beyond prediction. In contrast, imagine you had the opinion, a report, and if needed, testimony from a psychologist who examined the testator precisely regarding the variables involved in capacity in the immediate time frame of the signing. My sense is the package two would be far more compelling evidence. I think that a favorable report from this assessment is kind of a slam dunk. It would greatly reduce the risk of that will being contested. So clearly worth the price of admission. And in fact, if a will contest were successful, then and the contemporaneous assessment had not been obtained, I can imagine the losers, the inheritors who lost in that will contest, coming back to the attorney who got the will signed and saying that attorney was negligent for not getting a contemporaneous assessment. So this is the danger. The defense, I believe, is the known outcome of a current assessment.